Oh, Malka, excellent. Let's just wait for Malka's coming in. Just wait a couple seconds for her to pop in. And Malka is here. And if Malka is here, Hakoka, now we can start. Hey, Malka, welcome. Okay, here's what I want to do today. I actually want to begin right away and jump into a share screen. What I would like to do today is I want to actually pick up on a number of things that we discussed during the week and a little bit about Yerushalayim. And I think the best way to accomplish this is to study together the second last Hallelujah. What? Oh, that is not what I meant to do at all. That's what I meant to do, that one. To study the second last Hallelujah, which is not that, sorry. It's that one. Yeah, there we go. Okay, here's the plan. By studying this last Hallelujah, I think we'll be able to, you know, integrate a number of different themes and ideas that we've seen during the week. So let's get to work, everybody. Here we go. I don't have time to deal with the process of all the Hallelujahs and why they were added and the differences between them, but we're familiar with the second Hallelujah. What I would like to do is I want to pick up on some of the language and see the theme that David HaMelech is trying to provide for us. So we begin. Hallelujah, ki tov zamra lokinu, ki na'im na'ava sehila. That the Hallelujah opens up that it is good, ki tov, to recite a Zamrat Lelokenu, a Zemer. It's translated here as a hymn. That sounds very Christian. We call it Zimiros, right? We're talking about there's something of singing that takes place. So there's if you you want to talk about different ways to praise God and to sing to God, Hallel is a lower level. A Zemer, a Zmira, is actually considered a higher level. Ki Na'im Navasihila, that is considered pleasant to sing and provide praise to the Ribono Shel Olam. And this Hallelujah is really about that we're trying to give, we're a sense of joy, we're overwhelming joy, and we want to give gratitude to Hashem. And this is a very important idea. Why? Because what is the best way to give Zemer? How do you give Zemer? How do you sing a hymn? How do you sing to God? The best way to do it is what? Nava sihila. That if you realize that you want to give praise, if you actually realize that you have something to be grateful for, that you want to tell God and you want to thank God, that is actually considered a wonderful, wonderful thing. Meaning the fact that we are a capacity to be grateful is one of the things we need to be grateful for. The fact that we can even praise him, the fact that we were able to praise God, gives us this incredible opportunity and unique opportunity. No one else praises God, right? We praise God and we recognize we are obligated to praise God. That is something which we need to be thankful for. So that's exactly what David HaMelech begins with. David HaMelech begins with this idea that we have an obligation to be thankful. And people who are thankful, people who demonstrate gratitude, are better people. People who demonstrate gratitude show they're appreciative of things around them. They look at life totally different. They don't look at life as I deserve this and I deserve that, but rather I appreciate everybody in my life and everything that I have. Those are definitely healthier type of people. And that's an amazing thing. So say it. If you want to give praise to God, say it with overwhelming joy. Give thanksgiving and this profound gratitude to God. And the fact that we are in this position to praise him and our capacity to be grateful is exactly what I'm sure many of us are familiar with. That's this concept of modim. And many people, my friends, have blessings in their life and they just don't see it. They don't acknowledge it. They don't acknowledge that God is in their life. They don't have that perspective. But we must. We have to say thank you for our ability to say thank you. The health that we have, the life that we have, the fact that we are in this position, that's exactly what this means. Good, it is good. Zamra lokinu, it is good. It's tov to give zamer, to give praise to Hashem, which is higher than Hallel, like I said before, to God. That's a very, very powerful and important statement to make. Other people actually understand this to mean that it is not good to see that when we're referring to here, we're actually saying, who is this referring to? It is not me. I am not the person saying Zamra Lelokeinu, because it is a bit of a funny phrase, but rather I actually look at it as if God is saying the Zamer, that God has put in the ability in me to be able to demonstrate this sense of gratitude. And that, by the way, is in fact a wonderful thing also to point out. And Rabbi Elimelech, in the more Hasidic way of understanding it, who is this? It's as if God is the actual singer. It is as if God is the singer, and he's the one placing words in our mouth. And if he doesn't do it, we would not be able to do it. The more Hasidic way of understanding it. And how does God puts words into our mouth. How does he do this? And he does it through us. The only thing that people are bothered by is, why is the word Elokeinu used? Elokeinu usually is this idea of judgment and of nature, right? Why is that word used? So the Meshech Chachma, for example, wants to understand that, you know what, we sometimes look at it as life. That we sometimes look that, you know, there's a sense of contradiction in life, that when it's bad, it's painful. But really, we have to understand whatever Hashem does, it is in fact for our best. We can't always understand it, but we have to accept it. There's a sense of divine order. There's a perspective. I'll understand this perhaps in one day and down the road. But seeing that idea, recognizing and seeing the experiences that I have, the isolation perhaps that I'm involved with, it might be painful, might be difficult, but it's not. It makes sense, and it's not a contradiction. That I have the sense of blessing, and I have a sense of simcha, even with Elokeinu, even perhaps when it's not Yudke Vavke God, but this Elokeinu God, which is the God of nature, and right now the God of nature and the God of Corona is not necessarily the most positive thing in the world, but nonetheless, even with Bechozos, I see I'm going to do Zamara with the God relating to the God of Elokeinu, even perhaps when it's difficult and when it's a challenge, I'm still going to give Zemiros praise and thanksgiving and demonstrate gratitude to God. I think that's also very important. You don't just do Zamra Yurke Vavke. You don't just do Zemiros when things are wonderful, but also Zamra Elokeinu. And perhaps it's either seeing that even those challenging things are an opportunity for growth and for meaning and for an opportunity. And it's, again, I don't understand it or always appreciate it, but I have to look at it with a sense of optimism and of hope, not being dismissive and not trying to say, you know, and sweep things under the carpet that they're not issues, but instead rather try to learn to accept and try to move forward and not try to control everything that even Elokeinu provides for us. And of course, there's a sense of closeness. Elokeinu, he's our God. He's not just God, he's our God. There's a sense of personal relationship that's involved in that word. I think we discussed that when we did brachos, I don't know, like a month ago or 5 weeks ago, we had that theme, I think, for the week. Let's continue moving on to the next pasuk, because it connects to Yerushalayim, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this pasuk. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. By the way, I just spent 10 minutes. I'm running up to the second pasuk. This is not looking good. I probably should have done this over 2 days. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Nidche Yisroel Yechanes. Again, we've said these words. I don't know about you. I've said these pasukim. I was doing a quick mathematics. If I say these pasukim 365 days a year, forget the Hebrew year, which is a few days less, we'll even round off to 350 times a year. And how many times have I been davening halalukas for? You probably don't say this halaluka when you're like 10 or 12, but you know, let's say you start when you're 12 or 13. So, you know, shall we say 30 years times 350, that's a lot of times. Sometimes you got to just slow down and read each word slowly, which during coronavirus and an opportunity to read the words a little bit slower, let's at least take advantage of these opportunities. So that's what we're doing right now today. Bunei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nidche Yisrael Yechanes. So we're going to notice something here, which is very important, that the tense changes. Bonei means building, now. Doing it now, present tense. As opposed to Yechanes is future. That's not very good grammar. You're not supposed to switch tenses in the middle of a verse. That's what, you know, my grade 5 English teacher told me. You don't do those things, right? What's going on in this passage? What is Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem? By the way, you'll notice Yerushalayim no Yud, right? I mentioned that yesterday. Bnei Yerushalayim Hashem. What is this referring to? Yidche Yisrael Chanes. What does this pasuk mean? So here we go. Right now, God is Bnei Yerushalayim. In the future, there's going to be what's called Kibbutz Galios. Hashem is going to build right now. Very odd. What does this mean? Says the Sfas Emes. One day the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And there's going to be a generation that's going to merit, and merit Hashem, it'll be our generation, that's going to merit the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But we might think, what's my generation? What did I accomplish? It'll be in the next generation. And therefore, my generation was a waste. After all, the Talmud says, the Gemara says, if your generation, the Beis HaMikdash isn't built, it's as if it's destroyed. So what did I do? I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Says this Sfas Emes, that is a mistake. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. In every generation, the Beis HaMikdash is being built. It might, the edifice might not be complete. It might not be in its totality. That might come in our generation, not really sooner the next generation. But don't think for a second, when the Beis HaMikdash is built, it goes from 0 to 100 all in that generation. Rather, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, says this Sfas Emes. In every generation, what we do now matters.
Okay. We're due tonight.
And the brick
tonight?
Building of the Beis HaMikdash. That is what we are doing. Every generation sacrifices so much, does so much, has the zechus, learns Torah, does mitzvot, does chesed. All those things count. Yes, it's true. It might be in the future that the Beis HaMikdash will actually technically be built, but in our generation actually matters. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. An amazing, amazing, amazing insight. But in the future, of course, there'll be this kibbutz galios. But what you do today, what we do today, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, actually matters. There might be a culmination sometime in the future, but what we do today has an impact. The, you know, the Chofetz Chaim used a mashal. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, imagine if, you know, a person calls you up and says, listen, you know, I'm raising money for the Beis HaMikdash. Would you like to give money, right? Who's going to say no, right? What do you mean? I get to get money, the Beis HaMikdash? Everyone's going to say yes. And you put your name here, and you know, I want to get some gold and some silver, and we'll put, you know, David's name on it, and Yehuda's, and Ricky's, and just, we'll put everyone's, sorry, I only see like four people on my screen right now because the way it's been moved over to the side, right? And you know, and that's it. And that's going to be, you know, who's going to say no? Says the Chofetz Chaim. Every mitzvah that we do right now, every tzedakah that we do right now is Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Don't just think, says the Chofetz Chaim, that the people in whatever generation that will be, when they actually build the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be built because of that gold and that silver. Incorrect. It's our actions, our mitzvos, our Torah, our chesed that we do now is in fact Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, and do not think otherwise. Who would not want to be part of it? We have an opportunity to be part of it even today. Next pasuk. Harofe lishvoy lev umchabesh la'atzevosam. This pasuk is so powerful and so meaningful always, and even especially during these days. What does this pasuk mean? Harofe lishvoy lev, says the English, he heals their broken hearts and binds up their wounds. I don't understand. If you heal my heart, why are you binding up my wound? I am healed. When you are healed, you don't have a wound. It seems to be a contradiction in the pasuk. If Hashem is going to heal us, why do I still, am I walking around with a bandage? If I'm healed, why do I still have a cast, right? What is this pasuk trying to tell us? So this idea is a very, very important idea. What does God do? God is Rofe Lishvoy Lev. God heals broken hearts. It doesn't necessarily mean, it could be my heart attack or my right arm is broken, but this clearly is referring to psychological, emotional damage. That is hard. We live in a time where we're a little bit physically isolated. Everyone goes with a sense of anxiety or depression. Everyone challenges, who am I? What am I? Where am I? What am I doing? What's my responsibility? We have to realize God is a Rofe Lishvoy Lev. God heals us. God has the ability to heal us, and he is the ultimate healer. And often we have these unrealized dreams, and we struggle through life. And we have sometimes, you know, personal issues and national issues. We can never give up hope. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofe Lishvoy Lev. God is the one who heals. But why is it, perhaps, that if we're healed, we still have a bandage? It doesn't mean that God's going to eliminate the wounds. But rather, like we spoke about earlier, sometimes a crisis can have value. So the crisis, the challenge, the injury is also part of the journey, right? doesn't mean that, you know, we want to extract goodness from it, right? What's that line? Hafachta mispedi lemacholi. Right, what do? We take hesped and we turn it into lemachol, and we turn it into, in fact, dancing. That is what we do as part of the Jewish people. And so what is the refuah for someone who is a shvurei lev? What's the refuah? How do we heal somebody who's in fact has a broken heart? Answer? By realizing that God is the healer. It's not by God being the healer of a shvurei lev that gives us a sense of comfort. It gives us a sense of belief. It gives us a sense of that our pain can be healed. That we're not destined to have pain forever because God is the ultimate healer. That is, I believe, the idea behind this pasuk. Mona mispar lakochavim luchulam shemosi kara. He reckoned the numbers of stars. To each, he gave its name. There are thousands. There are billions of stars in the galaxy. We know there's billions and trillions. But what is this trying to say? It is not random. God gives them a name. And there's a number. I can't count that high. You can't count that high. If we do, we'd spend a long time doing it, right? Counting every single star. What we're trying to say here is, of course, it connects to the previous pasuk. Every star God counts and has a name, right? Bill, George, Steve, Bob, whatever it is, right? What does that mean? That every person, it's a metaphor. It doesn't talk about stars. You know that from Avraham Avinu. What does God tell Avraham Avinu? Ko yezarecha. That every star, you are a star. You're all shining stars, right? You're all glistening in the sky, in the heavens. Especially when it's not so cloudy outside and you actually get to see stars at night, right? That's what this pasuk means. That why is it that God is rofezi shvurei lev? Because we matter. If we live in a world where just like stars don't necessarily feel and matter and we're just one in a billion, if I see myself as one in a billion, that's very depressing. That leads to a shvurei lev, and that really leads to a sense of unhealthy thought and behavior. But if I realize that yes, there might be billions of people, so there's billions of stars, but the kulam shemo sikra, God gives them a name. God understands. What does a name mean? He gives someone a name. He gives someone an essence, right? Parents, when they give a name for their child, trying to bring out an essence, an idea, a value, a meaning, and a purpose. That's exactly what Rosh Baruch Hu sees in every single one of us. So in many ways, this pasuk, Dalid, is helping Gimel. How do you go past this notion of being a shvurei lev? By realizing that we matter and that we count, we have a sense of significance, right? It is not a matter of, it's a matter, you know, similar to what, by Abraham and those stars as well. Let's move on to the next pasuk. Maybe I'll pull this off. We'll see. Gadol Adonenu v'rav koach lisunaso in mispar. Great is our Lord and full of power. His wisdom is beyond reckoning. So you have to understand that this idea, the idea of Gadol Adonenu, great is our Lord. Great, Gidulah, when in the Torah, the Rav Koach, does not mean he's full of power, does not mean that God, you know, has a lot of spinach and has big muscles that can pulverize people with that way. It might be true, he might be able to do it, but that is not what it refers to here. Gadol Adonenu Rav Koach is all about recognizing, in fact, the greatness of God is his chesed. A person who's a true gibor, a person who has power, is truly able to withhold things. It is doesn't show that you're very strong if you can pulverize someone who's 10 years younger than you. That, in fact, doesn't show that you're strong. That shows, in fact, that you're very weak, right? That's what I at least tell my boys all the time, right? Not that my older boys can beat up on the younger siblings. Doesn't show that they're strong at all. Sometimes holding back demonstrates strength, right? That's one way of demonstrating strength. But in Tanakh, often recognizing God's Gidulah, Lecha Hashem HaGidulah, Gidulah refers in many different places to, in fact, what God gives, what God provides, and the chesed that he gives us. So the Rav Adonenu is referring to often chesed, compassion, and kindness. So when we feel down, when we're at Rofeli Shvurei Lev, remember, Gadol Adonenu V'Rav Koach, God has the ability to provide. But what does this mean? This is so in mispar. His wisdom is beyond a mispar. There's no number. What, God doesn't have an IQ, right? I don't need David Mel to tell me that God doesn't have a lisvunaso, which means bina, right? Bina is knowledge. What, he has no mispar? He has no IQ? I don't need Davin Amelech to tell me that God doesn't have an IQ. That's obvious. So you notice English translation doesn't translate the word mispar as a number. So notice that. Instead, it says beyond reckoning. So the commentaries translate the word mispar like we had a few weeks ago. In fact, exactly 6 weeks ago. What did we have 6 weeks ago in Chutz Aretz? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is how they translate. When it says Lisvunaso in Mispar, it means his wisdom is beyond reckoning. You can't tell a story. There's no story. You want to hear a story about incredible Ashkacha Pratis? You want to hear a story about God's incredible ability to save people and to heal people and to do X, Y, and Z? Whatever story you tell me won't be sufficient. That's what this pasuk means. Lisvunaso in Mispar. His wisdom, his knowledge, and his insight in Mispar. I could go on forever to describe it. That's how you understand this pasuk. It's very difficult to translate it as that God has no, that you can't, you know, put an IQ, that there's no number on God's wisdom. That's a very difficult translation. I believe that translation of Mispar in terms of Sipur, it says Mitzrayim, is a more correct translation. I think that's what the English here is saying, just, you know, being a little fancier than the way I explained it. Okay. Let's move on. Mo'oded anavim hashvem mashpil v'sha'im adei aretz. What does this pasuk mean? The Lord gives courage to the lowly and brings the wicked down to dust. So this is a very important idea. Mo'oded anavim. That when we talk about people who are lowly, in what's the midah? Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. It doesn't mean that he saw himself as nothing. He saw himself as useless and meaningless. That he saw himself as just a random star in the sky. But if you see yourself as humble, why do you see yourself as humble? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet. He literally spoke to God like, I get to speak to you. Unfortunately, you don't get to speak to me. But that conversation is like the way Moshe spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he was humble. Humble. Imagine if I were to talk and have an entrance anytime I wanted with a president or a prime minister. Current prime minister in Canada, I don't know if I'd necessarily, I guess I probably would talk to him, but that would be cool. But you get my point, right? Anytime I wanted, I could talk to the president minister. I wouldn't be humble. I'd have people chasing after me. Hey, Greenberg, can you mention to the prime minister, the president, right? If I had that type of conversation, that made me extremely haughty. I'll be very honest with you. I probably would be if I had access to presidents, prime ministers all the time. But Moshe Rabbeinu was anav. He saw himself. He realized he had an opportunity, he had a responsibility, and he didn't see it as his ego. He didn't see it as, I deserve this. He didn't see this as, look how great I am. There aren't too many characteristics that both the Rambam and the Ramban say you should not find the golden mean. Usually on most midos, you have to find the middle balance, the Shvil HaZahav. There's two exceptions, anger, ka'as, and being haughty. If you're haughty and you, there has zero benefit whatsoever, you have to know your place. You have to realize your potential, realize your abilities. But that's not being haughty. Sorry, that's not being haughty if you know who you are, right? You can still be anav. You can still be humble, lowly, and realize and still do incredible, great things. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu is the best example of that. And look at how David HaMelech writes this pasuk. What would you expect the second half of this pasuk to mean? I would have said, if I was writing this pasuk, I would say, Mo'oded anavim Hashem, I'm going to give courage to people who are lowly. And what will I do to people who are balgaivas? What would I do to them? I'd blast them into the ground, right? I'd mashpil adei aretz. But people who are conceited, who are haughty, what would I do to them? I'd drive them to the ground. But David Mel says, no. He calls people who are haughty, who have ego, a rishaim. They are wicked. They have no value whatsoever. The opposite of humility is not arrogance, but being wicked. Being wicked and being arrogant are almost synonyms. In fact, based on this, they are synonyms. Because a person, if you have haughty, if you see yourself as great and you have an ego, and I'm wonderful and I'm amazing, you're going to make poor decision-making, you're considered a rasha. It's a very powerful statement by David HaMelech. Let's move on to the next pasuk. There is no way I am finishing. Enu Lashem b'soda zameru l'lokenu b'chinor. Again, we're going to sing praise to God. And we're not only that, we're going to use an instrument to do so, right? a kinor. What's a kinor? A kinor wakes you up. David Amel says the Gemara, what did a kinor was based, those of you that are doing daf yomi, in brachos, or just limp brachos, there's a kinor above David Amel's head, and what would it do? It would wake him up, right? In the middle of the night, and he would sing shiros with tishbachos. He would write these hallelukas. Why? Because the function of a kinor is that it wakes you up. We know. You can go to any, remember weddings? Remember like big weddings? Remember those days, right? What's the problem with like Simchas Torah when there's no live music? It is very, you get tired because there's no musical instruments, right? After you can sing as much as you want, after 10, 20 minutes, you're exhausted, you're throughout, you can't do it. Musical instruments, you could provide much more music. You provide almost unlimited music. Well, okay, I guess your hands could hurt, your mouth could hurt. You could provide much more. And that's what this pasuk is referring to. Wake up. You know, you're sleeping and your music, you're a sound, it startles you. And people can talk and sing, often that can actually lull you to sleep, right? But this type of music, a kinor, wakes you up. And that's what we're asking for here. Sometimes we lead a life that we're in slumber, you know, maybe even the kinor virus, right? We're sleeping a little bit more than we need to be in the mornings, right? And when we fall asleep, it's supposed to wake us up. In Nula Shem Besoda, Zamrul Ginu Bekinor, that we want to sing a praise. If I'm into something, if I'm excited about something, I don't fall asleep. I'm excited. No one falls asleep at a you know, at an exciting Raptors game. It's exciting. It's going down to the wire. You're not falling asleep. The place is rocking. That's the way it's supposed to be when we give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we truly realize what we are doing and that we are in His presence. Okay, it is 12:59, and that means I have 1 minute to go. Maybe what I will do is, God willing, on Monday, I will do the second half. It is worthwhile doing the second half of this mizmor. I think you're still allowed to, you know, talk about like Yerushalayim even on Monday. Although fundamentally, obviously, it's about this appreciation, this entire parak of Tehillim. So, God willing, on Monday we will do the second half of this mizmor. Seah reflects back to the top and various themes that again we've been discussing for the past number of days. But again, it was very meaningful to me. I got a lot of these insights by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, and I was inspired by them, and that's why I would like to share them with you. And God willing, I will do so again on Monday. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Two quick service announcements. Next Wednesday night, which is Erev Shavuos, we are doing a Tikkun Leil Shavuos for 2 hours over Zoom. Please look for it. And also, I'm going to be delivering packages to anybody who wants. Sorry, Shashi, I'm not going to drive out to Edmonton or fly out to Edmonton. I apologize. I can give you a virtual one. But everybody who's local, even if you're south of Steeles, I'd be happy to drop by and deliver you some chocolate and some coffee and to wish you even a Chag Sameach, a Gid Yontef from my car and a quick wave. I'd be happy to do so. We sent out a response. Just fill out the Google form and maybe I'll even get an opportunity to even see you live from a distance. God willing, next week. Have a wonderful, uplifting Shabbos. See you on Monday, if not sooner.
Yes, I'll check it out.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks.